goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Moyne will try a long hit. What a goal from Moyne. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from Hugh O'Connor's Irish Bar and Restaurant, here's Glenn Davis.
Yeah, the voice of God said it. Hugh O'Connor's Pub here out on 7620 Katy Freeway. You may be out and about and driving home right now. If you are, pull in. It is the best in soccer talk, self-proclaimed, and great to be at Hugh O'Connor's, which is the official home of ESPN 97.5 Soccer Matters and the European Championship. So there will be a lot of European Championship talk here. This is the place to come watch the European Championships, the Copa America, you name it. Friday, we have a big England-Scotland watch party. So a lot of really fun things to do. Got a nice small group in here, some paying attention, some not. Andrew Kopelski is from the Snowdrop Foundation. He's in the house, and tonight we have a number of good things in store here. Happy hour always, 3 to 7, Monday nights through Friday here at Hugh O'Connor's. We're going to get you caught up on France, Germany today, Portugal, Hungary. We're going to start talking some goals of the tournament so far. A little bit of a compare and contrast of the European Championships and the Copa America. So first time in 15 months I've done a radio show outside of the home studio. So it's nice to be out again and looking forward to seeing a few more people roll in here. We got a lot of things to give away tonight as well. T-shirts. We got tickets to the Houston Dynamo Portland Timbers game on Wednesday. We've got guest co-hosts coming in from the Houston Dynamo and also from Channel 55 color analysts when we do television, Eddie Robinson and I. Eddie Robinson will be in here tonight shortly, as well as Houston area product Josh Gardner, who grew up on the fields playing in the places like Bear Creek Park, Meyer Park in Houston, and went on to a seven-year career in Major League Soccer and is now working in player development. So he is here as well tonight. So a lot of things to get caught up on. There's a ton of things in the world of soccer to talk about, and looking forward to bouncing some of it off both Eddie and Josh. Second hour, Ian Veery, who's a part of the Houston LFC Liverpool supporters group, which this is their home when Liverpool games are played. He will be joining me in the second hour. We will also have the Houston Dynamo coach Tab Ramos on the show tonight, as well as the Dynamo will get back into action in Major League Soccer on Saturday as MLS will get back to work. Couple things. Tomorrow in the Euros, we've got Finland and Russia, Group B match. And then it's Turkey and Wales. Turkey very disappointing in their first game against Italy. Wales and Gareth Bale. And then Italy and Switzerland. That tomorrow is the game for me to watch. Italy and Switzerland, because it's a better competition than Turkey. But Italy does look like one of the teams to watch in the Euros. And as always, this show is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. By the way, John and his firm, that's the reason why we get on the air both here and in Austin. We have another show on Monday nights in Austin on the Horn. And if not for the Daspit Law Firm, Soccer Talk is not on the radio. So we appreciate that. Again, we're at Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway. That is the place to be. So a little bit of a story ahead of tomorrow, Italy and Switzerland. So back in my day at Fox, when I was calling Italian Serie A games, there was a coach called Zdenek Zeman. He was a coach at Roma, which, by the way, for people who are listening in, the team Roma in Italy, in the Italian Serie A, is owned by a Houstonian named Dan Friedkin. He spent $763 million to buy Roma. That'll turn a few heads, whether you're a soccer fan or not. He bought the team from Houston here. He's Gulf Coast Toyota. He bought in very early his family to Toyota. Spent $763 million to buy Roma. Okay, so if people don't think investing in soccer is a good thing, I don't know why so many people are doing it. there is the theory and a very strong, it's not a rumor anymore, it's out there, that the Dynamo are going to be sold to a man named Ted Siegel in New York, who is a billionaire. So that's got the Dynamo fan base very excited. But back to my story about Zdenek Zeman. So Italy smoked Turkey in the beginning of this and looked very impressive. Immobile, Insigne, Marco Verratti, those three players. Verratti did not play, but he's coming back from injury. But a decade ago, those three players who are so pivotal to Italy now, and I think Italy may be one of the teams you'll see standing at the end of this tournament, along with France. Those three players were playing in the Serie B, which was the second division in Italy. Zeman worked with them, brought them through. They were playing at a team called Pescara in 2011 and 12. Insigne and Immobile had 46 goals between them. They gained promotion, which we don't have that in our traditional American sports, promotion and relegation. But when you're an owner of a team, if you're relegated, you have real skin in the game financially. Here we got these nice closed-door leagues. Everybody knows they're going to make their money. Everybody's protected. In these leagues over there, you got skin in the game, and if your team is relegated, you lose serious money. Everybody is getting into the soccer game in Europe because they want to be in the Champions League. This is where the big money is. But there is risk if you get relegated. So when you gain promotion, it also is a huge financial boost for some of these smaller teams. So these guys were on this team called Pescara. They're scoring goals like crazy. They helped the team win promotion. And Zeman said about these guys, he said, quote, and this is after the Turkey game, he said, "I was reminded of how they understand each other on the field, how they can find each other with eyes closed, how they speak the same language, how they move with and without the ball, which I hope and believe I have helped them with." So, you know, it's these deep-lying connections. We watch these athletes. We watch Ronaldo. We watch these guys now performing at the highest level, and we forget that there's these remarkable, amazing stories of where they began, where they started from. A fortunate influence as a coach that passes through somebody's life, and the next thing you know, it compounds into something called greatness, and the next thing you know, you're playing in the European Championships in front of 40, 50,000 people. I think we forget that. We're so focused on star players right now, but we're not necessarily always focused on the journey they make. So keep an eye on Italy. Keep an eye on France. When Josh Gardner and Eddie Robinson join me, Ian Veery, we're going to ask them who some of their favorites are in this tournament. Lionel Messi and Argentina yesterday, that was the game of the day for me. 1-1 in the Copa America. So direct stark contrast to what is going on in the European Championships. Europe has fans in buildings. Today we saw packed house in Budapest, Hungary. I think 50,000 people all chanting, cheering, clapping their hands. Remarkable atmosphere and very different. In fact, watching it on TV, it's kind of like now that people are going back, you're kind of taken aback a little bit. But you go to South America where they're still struggling with COVID. In fact, some people didn't even want the Copa America played, including government officials, ones that aren't worried about the financial side of things. The tournament was moved from Argentina. Colombia dropped out. It's being played in Brazil, and it's closed doors. So you watch the Euros at one point in the afternoon with fans, and you get this upbeat, jubilant environment, and then you're watching Lionel Messi in Chile. These guys absolutely killing each other competitively, and it's an empty, dark, kind of contrasting stadium. You know, you have this beautiful, slick European Championships, and then you got one of the greatest players in the world, Lionel Messi, playing on a field that's a little bit chewed up in Brazil, in a country that's stricken with COVID. Very, very different. 713-780-3776. What are you enjoying more, Copa America or the Euros, and why? 713-780-3776, and any of your early thoughts on both tournaments. Got to be careful. It's completing round one of the Euros, and everybody likes to get to snap judgment about tournaments. But mark my words, teams that have not started well will morph into something different, will get out of their group and become real threats in trying to win the tournament. It happens all the time. that's not a stretch saying something like that. So we had a couple days ago, England got a 1-0 win over Croatia. Good for Raheem Sterling. Eddie Robinson just walked in the room. Let's have a standing ovation for Eddie. He's here. Thank you, Eddie. Former Houston Dynamo defender. Him and Josh played in MLS against each other at the same time. It's great these guys are here tonight because, in all earnest, it's fun to have guys that have played in the current MLS coming on the show and talking about it and providing their opinion. So I'm excited to have them on coming up in the second hour. So England got a 1-0 win over Croatia. A couple things that you pull out of that is obviously Raheem Sterling of Manchester City getting the game winner in that. He had a bit of an up and down year. Pays off his manager who starts him. There was some criticism of him getting the start. The guy I liked, though, was Calvin Phillips from Leeds, and I think everybody liked him. That's not saying anything. England's young. England will make a run. I would just say Ian Beery and England fans, just temper it a little bit. It's one game, but it's promising because they are very young. And, you know, when you're bringing guys like Marcus Rashford off the bench, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, all these young guys who have garnered a lot of experience, I think it is pretty exciting. Austria over North Macedonia. You heard North Macedonia was very upset because their president of their country, wanting a photo op with the Pope, took the wrong color jersey there. It was more of a burgundy, and that red is very important to the fans of Macedonia. And I better say North Macedonia, if there's any Macedonians in the room. In fact, the U.S. Women's National Team coach, Vlatko Andonovski, who I had on my Austin show last night, he is from Macedonia and talked about it. If you think about Yugoslavia, when Yugoslavia broke up, if that country didn't break up, can you imagine the national team they'd have? Serbia, Croatia, all these, Montenegro. I mean, you think about that. They used to call Yugoslavia the Brazil of Europe. And when the former Yugoslavia broke up, that meant more opportunity at the national team level for guys. But, boy, can you imagine pulling all that talent together? So Austria ended up beating North Macedonia. Three goals to one in that one. Austria was all over North Macedonia. They are a good story, though. North Macedonia beat Germany. Netherlands 3-2. Some people over the Ukraine call that one of the better games. Mauro Manotas just walked in the room. Looks a little bit taller than the last time I saw him. We're at Hugh O'Connor's pub here, 7620 Katy Freeway. Netherlands 3-2. Had this game in complete control. Wijnaldum, Weghorst, 52nd, 58. It was 2-0. And then all of a sudden the Ukraine. Andrei Yarmolenko and Roman Yaremchuk. Two fantastic goals. So I'm looking at the Ukraine before that game, and I've always been a big fan of Andrei Shevchenko, and I see him as the coach, and I'm going, this can't be an old-school Ukraine. They're not going to be focused on defending first and not attacking, because he was an attacker. And if you look at coaches, most of them lean towards the things that they know and that they believe in and that they feel they can process and distribute and communicate to their teams. So I'm going, they have to be a little more attack-oriented. It's the most attack-oriented Ukraine I've seen in a long time. Not that I've seen them a lot, but in past big tournaments. And they come back and they tie it, and the Dutch are going crazy, and Dumfries scores in the 85th minute, a fantastic header, and the Netherlands win. Now, a couple of my friends said to me, oh, the knives are going to be out for Frank de Boer, the coach of the Netherlands. And I said, look, they could have won 6-0, played absolutely perfect soccer, and the knives would still be out because the Netherlands, more than any country in the world to me, talk soccer tactics, more than anybody. The X's and O's of the game, the system. They heard that he was not going to play a 4-3-3 system, which the Dutch is known for. There's a plane flying overhead. It says the name of the coach, De Boer. It says, De Boer, play 4-3-3 in Dutch. They're flying it over before the game. And he didn't play a 4-3-3. But if you ever have conversation with the Dutch when it comes to soccer, and you listen to how they are no nonsense, and it is very refreshing. Do they take it over the top? Absolutely they do. But it is very, very, very refreshing, because I think sometimes in this country, and I'm going to ask Eddie and Josh when they come on, we're a little bit too worried about the color of the uniform and, you know, what type of craft beer is being. I want to hear some people talk tactics once in a while. Now, maybe that's because I'm older. And there's nothing wrong with the color of the jersey, except if you're North Macedonia. But there's nothing wrong with the color of the jersey. And there's nothing wrong with at all with craft beer and the socialization of the sport. That's why we have sports. It's our getaway, right? But I don't know. I don't see enough talk about tactics. And maybe I have to adjust my thinking. And I do to some degree. But that's the part of the game that turns me on. I was talking to Nick Sciarra, who's here engineering, who's the co-host in the afternoons on the Press Box. I better say his name because I don't want Joel Blank to get mad at me, but I will say, Nick, I will say, Nick is over here laughing. Joel, I know you're not listening to Soccer Talk, and don't come on the air tomorrow and pretend you were. But Nick and Joel, they host the Press Box in the afternoon. Great show. Nick's out here. And Nick and I were talking about baseball, how it's just home run derby. I grew up, there was a thing called the suicide squeeze. It was the coolest thing in baseball, where there were opposite field hitters. I don't know how many of those there are anymore. You know, guys trying to steal home plate. I mean, these were nuances and plays that you just don't see anymore. And they were super exciting, super exciting. And I hope soccer's not going that way. I hope the game we love isn't going that way, because there's a little bit of manipulation of it with rules and different things. All right, we're at Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 7620 Katy Freeway. It's a great spot out here. There's all kinds of Mondays, you got half-price Guinness Burger. Tonight, you have half-price Bangers and Mash if you like English food. Wednesdays, Fish and Chips, best in town. Thursdays, Steak Night. Come out here, see Dave, Peter Kingston. These guys have supported my soccer show for a long, long time. They're great guys. They battle through the pandemic. If you're out and about driving around, come on in. You can meet Eddie Robinson. You can meet Josh Gardner. And we're going to go to break here. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to the Houston Dynamo Portland Timbers. We're going to thank one other group, and that group is Advantage BMW in Midtown. I've bought from Advantage. Love the drive of it. Drives like no other. I got an X5. I drove it during the pandemic to New Jersey. I was getting stir crazy like we all were. Just said, screw it. I'm throwing my dog in the car. 23 hours later, nice, easy drive, stopping in different places along the way, Mississippi, Virginia. I get there. The visit's outside with my parents, who are 94. Drive it back, but it was like being in first class. It was brilliant. And I'm ready to go tomorrow, too. So take a break. We'll come back. Eddie Robinson, Josh Gardner will join us. More from Hugh O'Connor's 7620 Freeway. A big thank you to Advantage BMW Midtown.
Hi, this is Adam Lundquist from the Houston Dynamo, and thank you for listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, throughout the Euros. This is the official home of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We got a nice crowd in here tonight. People starting to trickle in. We got free ESPN 97.5 giveaways. We got cups, koozies, T-shirts. We raffled off a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Portland Timbers. We also raffled off a Soccer Matters T-shirt, black and orange, very spiffy, very nice. Are you guys going to want one of those T-shirts? Or I don't want you. I want you wearing it though. You have a few? You have a couple of them.
Over the years. Hear me? There it is.
There we go.
You've given me probably 10 of those over the years for the kids. For the kids, they wear them, all the time.
Your daughters have them.
Yeah, you've given them soccer balls. All you've right. given all of it.
7620 Katy Freeway at Hugh O'Connor's. It's in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Here's a guy with Nevada Smith's New York in here. That's a beauty. That's a beauty. And appreciate the gentleman coming out. Julio just won a T-shirt. He's got that Copa Centenario hat on, so we appreciate you guys being here tonight. So throughout the Euros, this is the place to be. So let's get into some Euro talk. I'm going to start off with Eddie Robinson, former Houston Dynamo. Josh Gardner played in Major League Soccer with the Montreal Impact, Los Angeles Galaxy.
How are the taxes
Columbus
in Canada?
Crew.
Yeah. How are the taxes in Canada?
That's a good one.
I don't remember.
Get a lot taken out of your paycheck up there?
I don't know.
It's a good thing you aren't in the league now or you'd be living in Florida, right?
Yeah, probably.
Florida or Salt Lake
exactly.
City, because those guys are not allowed to go back to their country. The entire teams are staying here in the U.S. All right, so initial thoughts, Josh. I'm going to start you off today, the France-Germany game. That was the marquee game of the day.
Yeah, it was fun to watch, actually. It was seeing Rudiger, I think, bite Pogba was interesting. Took me back a little bit of a different take on things. But honestly, France looked really comfortable. Even when they defended, Germany didn't. I mean, obviously they had their shots on goal and stuff, but they didn't look too bothered, in my opinion. So for me, France is probably my favorite to win the Euros.
All right, Eddie?
I wouldn't disagree with that at all, and I think that, you know, they made a lot of mention today, Taylor Twellman and John Champion, during the broadcast about the loss to North Macedonia and how that started kind of a downfall. So I'm wondering, and it's a crazy, crazy wonder, but it seems to be true that Germany is lacking a little bit of confidence, a little bit of self-confidence.
Yeah, I'm taking a different take on it. I don't think there's any question the French national team, France was clearly the better team. Basically suffocated him. Two center backs, I heard the commentators talking about repeatedly. N'Golo Kante in front of you, when you're a center back, life is really, really good. Because
yeah.
That guy's like, plays for two. But I thought defensively, they basically siphoned the life out of the creative minds of the Germans. It's like they didn't know what to do. And they started hitting blind crosses in. Every cross is cleared. And, of course, they're set up perfectly with Mbappe on the counterattack. Now, the game was won on an own goal. That's the bottom line. You can look at the stats. You can write an article. Oh, Germany must have been the better team. They weren't. The French were. Now, I don't think Germany's dead by any means. We never count them out of a tournament. But they do have a little bit of a weird transition with their coach because Yogi Löw is leaving. You know, Hansi Flick is sitting in the stands behind their bench. It is a little weird.
And how about that group, right? And then earlier in the first segment when you were talking about the Netherlands – or excuse me, the Ukraine, when you were talking about Andrei Shevchenko and how they were a more attacking team. Well, the game in this day and age has changed completely. Teams have to sit back because more things are called fouls. Players are a little bit more of actors to draw fouls in and around the 18, so you got to compress it. You got to keep guys compact. And, you know, you got to give Pep Guardiola some credit for the modern game because this passing style, moving players into little gaps, has changed the game as well. So you've got to be more compact defensively, no matter who you are or who you're playing against. And even if you're France, who arguably might be the greatest team in the world, no offense to Belgium, but you've got to do that defensively.
And if you don't like compact defending, watch the Copa America.
Yes. That's coming from Eddie, though, who is a great defender, though, right? I mean, he loves the defensive side.
No, it's true. Eddie's gonna go there. That's where he goes. He's a defend-first guy. He would have loved the France game today, and it was a masterpiece. By the French. By the way, twice the French were offside on goals. Mbappe and Benzema got one. But I would go to the Germans and I would say when they made changes and Leroy Sané came on, Timo Werner can't hit the broadside of a barn when it comes to scoring a goal these days, but they love him for his movement and his ethic. I thought something was going to change. There just wasn't that one German player that could make a play. With all the possession, with all the backing in the French, and to your point, both of you, they look comfortable.
Yeah, I would say, you know, when Sané came in, he gives you something a little bit different, right? He's got a nice little left foot, and he's pacey. He reminds me of Insigne from with Italy, just his movement, right? But again, they just get numbers around the ball, and like you said with Kante, I mean, he covers so much ground. I mean, it's like he's everywhere, right? Sure. And then you have Mbappe, which when you win the ball, that's your outlet. I mean, that's always a danger, right? So they always have to be aware of where he is at all times.
It was France 1, Germany 0, 20-minute own goal from Hummels. One shot on goal for each team, that tells you something. Germany 10-4 in shots. A lot of crosses cut out. I don't think Germany's wide game was good enough to move those center backs.
Oh, it's absolutely not, without question. And that's the thing about your formation. Can you force your opponent to chase either the center backs, and that's why they tried to play with three. Mm-hmm. So you've got some space on the wings to let your fullbacks get higher, and then you can create a 2v1 overload on either side of the field. Or if you struggle with that, if your opponent is able to defend that and stop you from getting those balls wide and force you to play in the midfield, especially against France's midfield, mm-hmm. you ain't.
By the way, how bad were their free kicks, too? Toni Kroos ballooned two of them into the crowd. Leroy Sané ballooned one. I mean, they had some, you know, good angles off set pieces in this game, and absolutely did not look even a threat off them. So, to me, France looks like a very solid team. They are the world champions, but, I mean, they do out of the gate. And I would add to that maybe Portugal.
Belgium.
And Belgium, right?
Yeah.
Who else would you guys say out of the gate looks good to you? And we all know it's going to change game by game.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. I was absolutely shocked that Jack Grealish didn't play for England. I think he's been absolutely outstanding, even since he's come back from injury, even with the friendlies prior to the tournament. That guy's, he's so good. I can't believe that he didn't play. And if I don't know if you guys saw it today, he didn't train with the team. According to...
Because?
He was inside in the gym training on his own. Hmm. That was the official statement from England.
Kind of like Jozy Altidore at Toronto
Ooh.
FC. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
By the way, they want to shop him. Nobody, who's going to buy him? It's kind of like the Dynamo with Darwin Quintero. If he's not happy, nobody in MLS is going to inherit that.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it. I'm being a bit brutally honest. He's a fantastic player. But
maybe he heads down south for one more
MLS,
year.
Differing to your point, it's a league that there's a lot of pressing in this league.
Oh,
now.
Yes.
There's a lot of pressing in this league. And, you know, you can't have guys that, I mean, you have to be very, very cultured to get away with a guy who's not going to defend in this league when you lose the ball.
For sure. And one of the things that I think, I mean, when you look at athletically from top to bottom in Major League Soccer, maybe the Premier League is better, but when you just look at the athleticism of the athletes, the soccer knowledge, the U.S. still has a long way to go. But when you look at the athleticism, how long guys can run, how fast they can run, how hard they tackle, how big and strong they are, because you can't deny that sports science in the U.S. has come so far in the last 10 years or so.
All right. I'm going to pose two goals to you. I'm going to pose the Colombia free kick goal, five passes. Okay, it was, what was his name again? Cardona, thank you. This is why we have an educated audience here. Careful, guys, not too much, or I want to keep my job another 2 years. Cardona, off a free kick, plays three quick passes with Cuadrado. He clips a ball in. He takes off going towards goal. The guy initiated the free kick, gets on the end of it and scores. That one, which was a very Colombian goal. That was Colombian soccer culture in your face. And then I go to Schick.
Patrick Schick,
From the halfway line, right, for the Czech Republic. Oh. Which goal do you pick, Josh? Which one do you like better?
Oh, man.
And by the way, don't talk so much.
Well, I know. It's tough. Listen, Eddie was the defender. He always has to communicate, right? I love them both, and only because of the creativity. And when I talk about players and how far they can expand their vision with Schick's goal, not players today will look to see where the goalkeeper is, in my opinion, right? I'm around a lot of youth right at the moment. But the creativity, and we were talking a little bit earlier about the Colombia goal, the creativity, and games are won and lost on set pieces. Right, and so the few quick passes gets them like not thinking, the defense not thinking where the ball's gonna be played, and I mean you capitalize on that.
It's awesome because Ecuador's pushing out to close the ball down. Everybody's getting out, and you see Cardona go in the opposite direction. It's just like that, right? Mm-hmm. I'm moving my hands back and forth. Eddie,
well, I agree with Josh on the Patrick Schick goal. I mean, he doesn't take a touch. Most players that you've ever seen that happen, those long-range goals, when the goalkeeper's out, they take a touch, then pick their head up. Mm-hmm. He already looked as he's running towards the ball. He's already had a look, so he already knows what he's doing before he gets there. That's a quality of a really outstanding player. And then, you know, I'll use Portugal's third goal today, Cristiano Ronaldo's second goal. 2 1-2s within the 18. Mm-hmm. The movement, the speed of play, how quickly they got around the defenders.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this though. It's a third goal. You're already up 2-0. It's late in the game.
Ronaldo scores a lot of goals when games are already won. You know that,
right?
I know that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying. But I'm just saying, and Real Madrid fan, I know you're throwing something at your wall at home, maybe, but.
But it's almost like they're able to do that because they're flying, right? They're up 2-0, and now let's just play a little 1-2 around each other. I actually thought it was offside. I really didn't. I mean, it looked offside to me.
I thought the defender tried to step too late. It was close.
It was a fantastic goal. He's a fantastic player. Yeah. And by the way, on Darwin Quintero, I hope the Dynamo were able to get something out of that guy and he can contribute this year. So I want to go back to Schick's goal. Remember, that ball came ricocheted. It was a block shot that flew out towards the halfway line, okay? Yep. And the fact that he never takes a touch, and to your point, you guys, he's taking a snapshot. He knows where the goalkeeper is. And the way he hits it, didn't it have a little swerve to it?
Yeah.
Yeah, with his left foot, he kind of came around the outside of the ball slightly, and it had a little bit of movement.
I think it was Casey Keller who said on the broadcast, why is the goalkeeper that high? Because your teammate has the ball at the top of your opponent's 18. You're not supporting. It's not like your wide fullbacks or your center backs have the ball. You don't need to be that high in play. You need to be a little bit more conservative just in case, right? Worst case scenario. So, I don't know. I mean, there's arguments.
Everybody's saying, why was he out there? Well, he's out there because he's being a covering player. Come on. I mean, this is a modern game. That's what he's doing. He got it wrong. Manuel Neuer's gotten it wrong on a few. Did you see how far out he was today? I mean, that guy's range. Is there anybody who's got the range of him when it comes to, the risk he's going to chase? I mean, he goes to sidelines. He'll go all the way out wide to get balls, right?
Yeah. And throw-ins. Maybe Ederson from Man City, but other than that,
you need that, though, in a goalkeeper nowadays, right?
It's awesome.
It's an extra field player.
Some of them you might even say are better soccer players than they are at stopping shots.
Well, and when you talk about how important throw-ins are nowadays, like Liverpool has a throw-in coach, and if you can add an extra player on that side of the field.
Please, don't say that.
Don't get me started on throw-ins.
Do you know how many counterattacks come from throw-ins?
Don't say a throw-in coach on my show, Eddie. Please.
Do you know how many counterattacks come from throw-ins?
I can't say it's my show
How many goals the Dynamo, Dash, and all kinds of MLS teams give up on their own throw-ins? It's incredibly
important. It's a uniquely American thing that we've added to the game of soccer, don't you think?
No, it's all over the place.
I think we were doing the long throw-ins before anybody. Rory Delap.
I'm not talking about the long throw-in. I'm talking about just throw-ins where they go for the feet.
Oh.
No one accounts for the player off the field defensively. They don't get enough around the ball. They turn it over, and it's a counterattack.
Oh, okay.
It happens.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's been coaching for a while now, Josh, and he knows it.
Josh used to throw it off the back of a teammate.
Creativity. Creativity.
Smart.
Eddie,
intelligence.
You need it.
All right, we're going to take a break here. It's Hugh O'Connor, 7620 KD Freeway. We're giving away tickets, T-shirts, you name it. We have it out here. Eddie Robinson, Josh Gardner joining us. We're having a lot of fun here. It is loose. It's a great environment. A lot of people in here. And we thank you for that. 7620 KD Freeway. It is Hugh O'Connor's. Friday at 2 o'clock, it's England-Scotland. It's a watch party. It's already people booking tables. You better get your tables here. Ian Veery at the back of the room is pumped. You can call in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. By the way, great spot for food, along with Hugh O'Connor's, is FM Bar and Kitchen, just north of Washington Avenue. Good craft cocktails out there. Go in there and see my buddy Jason. Big outdoor area, lots of picnic tables. Bring your dogs, you can bring your kids. It's very, very open. They've got monitors outside as well, just like we do in here at Hugh O'Connor. So it's FM Kitchen and Bar, another one of the great spots that supports soccer on the radio. Take a break. We'll come back. We got more to come. Eddie and Josh.
ESPN. 97.5.
Hi guys, I'm Hector Moreno. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
Anybody know Hector Moreno here at Hugh O'Connor's? Mexican national team? Just signed with Rayados in Mexico.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
He's a left center back for the Mexican national team. He's been on the show. He was playing in Qatar. Welcome back to Soccer Matters here We are out at Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 7820 Katy Freeway. Glenn Davis, Eddie Robinson, Josh Gardner, Ian Veery is going to join us in a bit. We're talking Euros. We would like to take some of your phone calls if you want to join in with us. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Give us a take on the Euros. Give us a take on the Copa America. You guys watched the Copa America yesterday, right?
Yeah.
No, that's not my baby. That's my friend Justin's baby. Baby's beautiful baby's baby face just popped up on my telephone here. And Eddie's looking at it going, I didn't know Glenn had a kid.
You do. His name's Oso.
We will, yeah. So it's 7820 Katy Freeway. If you're out driving around right now, pull in. The sun's out. We got all kinds of ESPN freebies here, too. We've got the street team here. What's your name again?
Claire.
Claire's here. I'm sorry, Claire. Claire's out here, and she's got all kinds of T-shirts. Pick some of that stuff up, stickers, supporting ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Nick Sciarra's here. Yeah, I walked in. Nick Sciarra's here. He's a host in the afternoon show with Joel Blank. I said Joel's name again. Should I say John Granato's name and AJ's name? And will anybody be upset and hurt if I don't mention their name? What about Dell? Will Dell get out? I think Dell would get upset. No? No? He's cool? Well, oh, that Lance Zierlein.
Oh, yeah. Who's that guy?
Yeah, Lance. Lance killed some great soccer talk the other morning, by the way, and I tweeted that out. I hope he didn't get upset. John had a good sequence going, talking soccer, U.S., Costa Rica. And Lance totally comes in and steers it towards football.
Well,
and I'm listening in the car, and I'm like, yeah, I'm punching my fist against the windshield, you know? Lance, what are you doing? You're crushing it. Granato's into it, man. He's talking about Berhalter. It's great. All right, one thing that touched us all, and this is on a bit of a serious note here, we all saw Christian Eriksen go down. This was a shocking moment, as any of these injuries are, but... You know, we saw him being worked on. This thing was on TV. Certain networks didn't cut to studio. They did in Denmark. They did not here. And, you know, I don't know what the answer to that is. But this was some scary stuff. And thank God Christian Eriksen is okay. But, you know, when you're watching that, you know, quickly just, you know, we all get intense about sports and things. And, boy. You're looking at that and you're going, please, this guy's got to make it. That's all you're saying, because he's one of the most humble, quiet guys from the outside looking in that you'll ever see. Your thought when you saw it? There's much you can even add to that. This is kind of like when you're in a studio and you're having to talk. I felt bad for the commentators because, like, what are you supposed to say?
Yeah,
I was emotional.
You don't see it, right?
I was emotional.
Yeah.
Super emotional, especially when you see his legs convulsing because they're doing chest compressions, and then you see another paramedic come out with the defibrillator.
Yeah.
So I'm at home. I'm sitting back on my couch, and that's going on. I realized today that I was all the way on the edge like this, like looking at the screen. And then when they put the white sheets around him and the team got around him, you can be at home, you know, thinking the worst, right?
Yeah.
So supposedly he's okay. He's communicated with people. He's probably getting the battery test, Josh.
Yeah, I was actually training and on my way home, and I got home and it was like the 50th minute, wondering why it wasn't halftime. And then, you know, you see the fans, everybody's crying in the stands. The players are surrounding. I think his girlfriend was on the field and they were comforting her a little bit. So it's a scary moment, but it's a great thing that, I mean, the player that put his fingers in his mouth to make sure. Unbelievable.
Care.
Right?
Care.
Just the humility. The humility to try and take care of your teammate. It's incredible.
Yeah, and then the fact that it goes global and there's this nice unity for this player and in a time where there's a lot of divisiveness. Pretty remarkable. Beautiful stuff. And we continue to see people supporting him. So. That was a bit of a shocking moment there. You know, one of the alternatives given to the Danish national team by UEFA, this is pretty stunning. There were three alternatives if this game was going to go on. One of them was Denmark, you forfeit. That came from UEFA, the governing body, which you got to wonder who made that decision. incredible. Lionel Messi, Argentina, Chile. You guys watched the game. Compare and contrast that game to what you saw in the Euros, and then take me a little bit into Messi, because I thought Messi was excellent, even beyond the free kick. I thought he was trying to orchestrate Argentina. Looks to me to be a little bit better and a little bit more together Argentina than in recent times.
Can you compare and contrast his game versus Ronaldo? I mean, I'm a Messi fan myself.
Sure you can. People have been doing it for
years. I know.
You're not going to get to do it much longer, so you better enjoy it while you can.
I know. For me, I just feel like he's more of a team player. You know, he makes, in my opinion, right, this is my opinion, Eddie. Don't get upset.
You're allowed to have opinion. You're on radio.
Yeah,
Josh,
I know.
Come on.
I know.
Radio is good opinion and disagreeing. It's bad radio if we all agree.
That's true. He just does more for his team, and I feel like he's more of a team player. It's different, right? Because they're playing in a different tournament. Not seeing the same faces as you see every day. But he's just so special.
Without question. I mean, it was obviously far more wide open than the Euro games that we've seen so far. There was more passing, more skill involved, and that's just the South American game. That's the difference in the games. I mean, you know, when we talk about Messi and Ronaldo, you know, if I've got the meanest, most selfish, cockiest person in the world on my team, but he's scoring two goals every single game, I might be able to look past it. Messi, though, he comes in, he picks up the ball in midfield, he does different things. I think they're just two different players. They're just two different players, and I think it's impossible to compare them, and I don't know that we'll ever see anything like them again. Yeah. It sucks that they were both the same generation.
They're beautifully different. Think of how La Liga has taken a hit without those two guys. By the way, I just want to remind everybody who's listening on the radio, if you're in your car, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 7620 Katy Freeway. This is where we are. We've got a nice captive audience here. We've got some soccer fans here. We're giving away Soccer Matters T-shirts. We got ESPN 97.5 gear. Claire's here giving stuff out with the street team. You're not going to walk away without something if you come in here. And they got an incredible selection of beer and whiskey. We will be giving out more Dynamo tickets tonight during the break. So that's the other thing. But you got to be here to win Dynamo Portland Timbers tickets. And that's a game I think we're doing on TV, Eddie. Aren't we on Wednesday? Next Wednesday?
I think that's
a TV game.
Yep.
Saturday night, right on this station, ESPN 97.5, we'll have the radio call of the Dynamo at LAFC as MLS will get back up and going. I mean, it's remarkable how much soccer content there is right now and how the networks are getting into it and where it's going. All right, so Argentina and Chile. Definition of a foul is a little bit different in Copa America than it is in the Euros. I think Vidal could have been sent off three different times in that game.
I mean, but that's the player he is. And unfortunately for me, that's the player I was. I would, you know, a little bit of red mist would come over and I'd just want to go smash.
Let me stop you right now.
Yeah. I couldn't survive in today's game.
No,
not in today's MLS.
I'm thinking about myself. So for full disclosure, I'd say I wouldn't probably either.
I've said that
you and me have some similar
years
tendencies, except for age. But
no, I've said that.
But outside of that, I mean, it's like totally different. And center backs they're choosing center backs who's a better passer before a defender sometimes.
Well, this is where you got to think about referee education and how much Europe's putting into it, how much America's putting into it now. Mm-hmm. You don't hear anything about it in South America. Mm-hmm. So it usually seems like who goes and yells at the referee first is call's going to go their way, whether it should be a yellow card or not, should be a red card or not.
Yeah,
I just think it's different. It's alarmingly different, and I don't think you're ever going to be able to standardize. You know, everybody wants to standardize things in soccer when it comes to laws and rules. At the end of the day, even with VAR, it's subjective. So, you know what? The definition of a foul is going to be different in South America. Remember when Matias Vera came for the Houston Dynamo? First game he played in Major League Soccer, guy got sent off, right? And I'm thinking to myself, this guy has to adjust to, you know, how a foul is called here and in Argentina in the first division. So it was very different.
Would you say that in South America there's more passion? It's almost more bad blood, if you will, right?
I mean, two different things.
Yeah, but it's crazy. Some of the fouls that the referee's not calling, it's unbelievable. I mean, you're right, Eddie. You were that type of player, but you were also very good. right? Winning yeah. challenges.
Give the man credit.
Yeah, I'm giving you credit.
What would you do without being able to attack goal kicks, though, now, with everybody playing out of the back on the ground?
Yeah.
That was your bread and butter. I mean, at Robertson, because the field was short, you'd win a header. You'd knock it 40 yards, and it would start a counterattack, right?
Yeah, well, now, I mean, they spread out, and when you play with the center backs outside in the 18, now teams have to decide, are we going to go press or are we going to sit back? Because if they go press and they send players, now there's gaps everywhere for the midfielders to play into, for combination play, to get that ball forward quick.
I love it.
It's different, but, I mean, it's just a result of the history of Boca River Plate, right? I mean, everybody loved that, don't they?
So remember one thing in South America, though. Remember one thing. These national teams don't have a lot of naturalized guys, okay? These countries are very defined with their players. Mm-hmm. And their genuine, I'll say this nicely, dislike for each other, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's why you get a lot of what you get. And to see those guys laying into each other in that game with nobody in the stadium, I mean, that's as honest as it gets, right? It's raw. It's honest. It's a little different than Europe, which is a little more homogenized, and it's beautiful, and it's pristine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many teams are there in Europe? 50, 60? How many teams are there in South America? 10, 12? And I'll say this to Josh. If you go back in the days when we were playing, when we were really younger, familiarity breeds contempt. There weren't a lot of teams. So when we were in San Jose, we'd play LA Galaxy four times during the season. Yeah.
11 or 12 teams.
Twice in preseason, U.S. Open Cup, and probably the playoffs. So when you're playing teams eight times a year, all of a sudden, that's
a rivalry,
them.
Right?
Yes.
It's a rivalry, yeah.
I'm trying to think of the Chilean guy. There's a Chilean guy that's from England that, going against my theory of talking about non-naturalized guy, he had a Chilean mother, and he debuted for Chile, and he's in the English Championship, and I'll get his name during the break. But that was a really, really interesting story. He was a taller guy who came on at the end. He had one moment where he was a little bit dangerous, but they found out he had a Chilean mother, and Chile brought him into the Copa America. But it's the same thing with the Copa Libertadores, too, right? Boca and River, I mean, most of these teams are made up of, if you're in an Argentine team in Copa Libertadores, the majority of your roster is Argentines, Colombians. If you're Sao Paulo, it's Brazilians. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. That's pretty cool.
I think it's just the upbringing. I think it's youth soccer. I mean, it's what you're doing now. It's the way that you let players express themselves, but at the same time, you try your best to teach them tactics and the way to play, and you have to find the right mix of that, and it seems like they've done it.
All right, we're going to take a break. Eddie Robinson, Josh Gardner are going to stay with us. We're having a lot of fun here discussing things. You can join in 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We're at Hugh O'Connor's Pub. At 7620 Katy Freeway, all kinds of specials here daily. Happy hour Monday to Friday, 3 to 7 p.m. Hugh O'Connor's Pub is the official home of Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. European Championships. Got the banner out front. Come on out. I need to update that banner. You'll see superstars like Eddie Robinson out here, Josh Gardner. Next week, we're going to have three college coaches from Rice, the U of H, and Texas A&M in here. Not only talking about the Euros, but talking about the women's college game. So hoping to get some people out for that. We'll do a little bit of educating, the recruiting process, where the women's game is now. I'm sure they'll talk about the Olympics, etc. And when we come back, we'll touch on a new stadium opening west of us. I guess it's west, Austin, right?
Northwest.
All right, we'll take a break from Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 7620 Katy Freeway. If you're out and about on the town, come on in and join us. All right, see you in a minute. Take a break.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.